In Matthew 3, 13, 17 to 17, we read when John baptizes Jesus. Then Jesus came from the Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, I need not to baptize you, but you are coming to me. And then Jesus answered him and said, permit it to be so, for thus is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. And then he allowed him. And when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens opened to him. And we saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and aligning upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. When my first son was born, day 3 and 4, 5, I discovered something amazing. He did not make one financial contribution to our family. He did not bring in any money. The other thing, day 7 of his life, when he was 7 days old, I could not show him to my friends and ask him to recite some poems, and he didn't tell stories. He was not very good at academics then. He did not excel in mathematics. And I saw day 7, he kept us awake the whole evening. But like I said, the worst thing is there was no financial contribution to our family. On the contrary, the amount of nappies we had to buy, but we loved him. So Marga and I loved Frederick so much, even though he did not do anything to deserve the love. So if you will put on a lens today of this belovedness, a belovedness that you are God's beloved. Same happened then when Joshua was born, Lucas was born, Manasseh was born. They did not, day 7, bring finances to the house, and they did not perform. But we loved them no matter what they did. Even if they threw up on our shirts, we loved them. We couldn't love them more or less. Maybe we liked it when they slept through the evening, but we loved them. 2 weeks ago, a friend came to see me saying, Hendrik, my life is falling apart, walking through the valley of the shadow of death. Everything that I thought was my anchors, it's a disaster. But I'm holding on to Jesus. And he told me that in the past few months, he's been becoming the I want to be. He's becoming the man he wants to be. Disciplines in his life, talks with Jesus, and a beginning of the realization that he is the beloved of Jesus. So here we see in the baptism of Jesus, John is saying to Jesus, you know, I cannot baptize you, because he knows that this baptism that John performs is for those who are not of the Jewish faith yet. It's for sinners, and they are baptized into a new life. So why would Jesus be baptized? And Jesus says, for all righteousness to be fulfilled. For all righteous, because Jesus, it's amazing, beloveds, in his mind, it's you and me. He has to take this life of us and walk in front of us, be baptized. He has to go before us, the only Son of the Father, in order for us to be adopted, beloved, and accepted. Story of the Jordan. So the Jordan River starts in Banyas, top. It flows down to the Sea of Galilee. From the Sea of Galilee, different rivers flows from the Sea of Galilee. There's so much life at the Sea of Galilee. The Jordan goes out of the Sea of Galilee, going down, down, down into the Dead Sea, where everything is dead. What a vision of Jesus in the water and old life going down into the Dead Sea where there's nothing. He took everything wrong in our life, all down. And we, part of the belovedness, to become the you you want to be. And for me to become the I want to be in and through Jesus. Funny thing, strange thing, amazing thing that happened. Then Jesus, after his baptism, he heard, "Beloved." Then he walked into the desert. And the father of the prince of lies came. And he tempted Jesus in the desert. The devil came, tempted Jesus in the desert. And he said to Jesus, listen to the question. Jesus was baptized and he heard the words of Father saying, "You are my beloved son." Father of lies come with temptation and he says, "Are you not God's omitting beloved? Are you not God's son? Are you not the son of God?" But he omits deliberately the word beloved because he knows if Jesus, or he thinks at least, if Jesus does not know that he's beloved, that identity, that call, he can maybe be tempted not to be the one he wants to be or should be. The lie that you are not beloved takes us into the depth of darkness. If we walk around on this planet in our lives with the knowledge that we think we are not beloved, we are led to find our belovedness in every other place apart from Jesus. I've read a book by Elise Marie Miller where she wrote chapter, "Welcome to the Family." And there's three invitations. And one is to be accepted. First one, to be accepted. And suddenly, a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." We wake up in the morning and then we start earning acceptance. Or at least that's what we think we should do. In which way you and I try to earn acceptance. We live with a yearning for acceptance. But these words, "I'm pleased with you. You are accepted into the family." There's a word, charitua, maybe where we get the word charity, but it means you are highly favored. You are accepted. God appears to Mary and he says, "Highly favored woman, highly favored." I believe we don't read anything about Mary's life, but I believe when God said, "Highly favored, accepted, Mary, it was not necessarily of what Mary has done with her life until the age of 13. I think it had to do what God had up his sleeve. When he calls you accepted, blessed in abundant, it is because he knows who he is and he knows that he has something up his sleeve for you. He is excited about what he can do with everything and anything in your life. For Mary, the Spirit was on her. He deposited Jesus in her and she gave birth to him. Today, when God speaks to you, he says to you, "Highly favored, here is my Holy Spirit. In Jesus, I deposit all of heaven and you can bring and birth his kingdom." Isn't it amazing? Highly favored. Not because of what we've accomplished, but because God knows what he can accomplish if we say, "Okay, have your way." It is said there are but two kinds of people. Those who say to God, "Let your will be done," And to those who God says, okay, have your way. But you, beloved, are fully accepted and highly favored. And the knowledge of this acceptedness will influence the way you interact with your dad in heaven. It will influence the way you interact with other humans, specifically when there's rejection. When you know I feel rejected, but actually the author and finisher of the world and faith says, you belong. You belong, you are part of. It influences the way you walk around with the needs, all the needs that you have. It influences the way that you treat others. Not because of their behavior. You start treating others not because of their behavior, but of their position in Jesus. Accept it. And you start living a life from only seeking and receiving, but to seek, receive, and to release and give. We start living from acceptance. In Ephesians 1, we read Ephesians 1:6, you are accepted in the Beloved. Accepted in Jesus. Which brings us to the second invitation, to be adopted. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my Son, in whom I am well pleased. Ephesians 1:5 says, we are predestined for adoption. The whole story of followers of Jesus is that we are adopted in his family. The first son, Jesus, firstborn of the Father, and then he came and we are all adopted into our new family. See, we had another father, the prince of darkness, the devil who wanted to be our father. But God said, I predestined you for adoption. The Roman way of adoption is, it was a huge story. There was the father of the family, the patria potestas, the father of the family, and everyone belonged to him. And when you were given up for adoption, or you did not have the dad, the father will come and it would be a huge ceremony. They'll have scales and there'll be weights on the scale and the weights will be to purchase you and the dad will buy you back twice. And the third time there will be no weights to purchase you and another father will come and he will put weights on this scale and buy you from the government or from another father. He'll be bought and purchased into a brand new family. And listen to this, may this stir you. What happened when you were adopted into a new family? First, the adopted son lost all the rights to his previous family. The adopted son became an heir to the new estate. Tongue in the cheek, someone once said, where there's a will, there's a relative. You became heir. He became an heir to all that the father has. And in law, all of your old life was gone. All the debt, all the guilt, all the shame, it's gone. You have an absolute new life because of this new purchase, because of this adoption. No more, no more, no more, no more, no more guilt. And then you are the absolute son of the new father. Caesar Claudius had wanted Nero to be the new Caesar. He adopted him as a son. Then Nero wanted to marry Octavia, the daughter of Claudius. And then there was new laws that had to be written so that Nero can marry Octavia. But for me and you, this promise, you are adopted, you lose all rights, all bondage, everything from the previous family is gone. We're heirs to a new estate, to the kingdom. And all of the guilt and sin is gone of the old family. Romans 8:16 in the Living Bible. For his Holy Spirit speaks to us deep in our hearts and tells us that we are really God's children. Deep in your heart, no more part of the old family. The story of Jesus is an adoption story. And then when lies come to get you to a place where you are not the person you want to become, you can counter it to become the you you want to be. When you hear, feel I'm not worthy, there's the truth. You are worthy. You are adopted. You are an heir to the kingdom. A lie, I don't belong. No, you belong. I came to make you part. You are part of this extended royal family. When you think I'm alone, you're not. The whole of heaven, Jesus, Holy Spirit, Father, with you, and there's a family. And when you feel like a victim, you're an heir. When you feel not as good, your Creator said, no, 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 you are part. And then, third invitation, the story of today, beloved. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. For us to become the you you want to be, we have to walk around with a deep sense that you are beloved. A few years ago, I preached about beloved. And while I preached, someone from another congregation in Alberton, I did not preach in Alberton, someone from Alberton made 6 cups. They were not part of my congregation. And on the 6 cups, they wrote, beloved. And just after the sermon, a day or two, these cups were presented to me. Beloved. Because, beloved, this word, this term, this title, this identity, this truth has been something in my life which Jesus really is busy convincing me that this is true. You are my beloved son or child. You are my beloved. And the thing is, because we sometimes often hear, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, we become immune to the word God really loves you and me. We become immune to those words. It's something that does not stir us in the depths of our being. But it has to for us to walk upright, knowing we are beloved. You see, I told you about my kids when they were 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 days old. No matter what they've done, no matter how much they cost, and no matter how much they did not perform, I absolutely, absolutely loved them with all of my heart, and I would have given, I will give everything, anything for them, not because of their performance, because it is there. And someone said, they asked Jesus about, do you love us all equal? And the person sent, God said, no, I don't love you equal, which was strange to the person hearing that. No, you don't love us equally. And God said, I love you uniquely. There's only one of you, one mold for you. After you were finished, after I made you, I broke the mold. And I can love you uniquely. There's a specific, huge, massive love only for you. And nobody can ever take your place. And I cannot ever love anyone like I love you, because there's no one like you. The truth of the love of God, that we are his beloveds. I once heard, and I think it to be true, if it was only you, on this planet Earth. Only you. If it was only you. And Jesus had to give his life, he would have done it for you and me. For you. Because you are his beloved. Predestined for adoption. Accepted because of Jesus. Not because of our performance, but because God knows what he has up his sleeve. So as we are journeying in a new space to become the who you want to be, the me you want to be, there's a deep-rooted word and title and identity. You are God's beloved. God does not only give his love, but he is love. There's a quote. The difference in this reality is the source. The one who is love does not love because of performance. He just loves, no matter what you do. Beloved, I wonder, this week, maybe, to implement the following practices. To voice. To listen to the voice, what God is saying to you, beloved. And to really get to the depth of this, hearing these words about you. To maybe visualize the baptism of Jesus for you, to his glory as he invites you into this journey. And to validate, to see if what he says about you is true for him. What does God's I am who you say I am? And in this journey, may the truth of you being God's beloved stir your being into becoming the you know that he says you should be. Amen. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you that somehow in your love, you love us unconditionally, deeply, and you call us your beloveds. We are yours. Amen. May the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of your Father, and the powerful presence of the Holy Spirit be with you forever and ever and ever. Amen.